Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Skylar Jeremias, and I'm an assistant editor at CHE. Today, I will be joined by Leslie Trigg, CEO of Outset, the creator of Tablo, a home-based dialysis machine that incorporates cloud computing technology. We discussed how these machines work, why they would be attractive to patients, and how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the demand for these machines. We also talked about the potential for home dialysis machines to be eligible for reimbursement and what the future looks like for this technology. So to start us off, what are some of the challenges associated with conducting dialysis in the clinic setting that are alleviated by at-home machines?
Well, home dialysis for a while now has been shown in the literature, lots of different published reports, to allow patients, number one, to have a much better quality of life. They have flexibility, they have freedom, they have control over effectively when, where, and how they're going to dialyze. And that's a big difference from the in-clinic environment. So that's one. In terms of the clinical efficacy, there's also a lot in the literature that that home dialysis does result in lower rates of hospitalization, lower rates of ER visits, and lower rates of mortality. So there's really been a long established body of evidence that home is better clinically for patients. And I think third, home has been shown to be better economically for patients. Patients dialyzing at home have about a fivefold increased rate of employment, being able to maintain employment, compared to patients who have to dialyze in center. And that makes sense, right? Because in the in-center environment, you are unfortunately told what time, what day, which chair, which technician. You don't really have control over any of those variables. And so most patients do end up with being assigned times in the day for dialysis three times a week that would conflict with maintaining employment. Whereas at home, they can choose, I'm going to dialyze early in the morning or late at night and keep their days free, either for work or obviously for, you know, living life and enjoying the activities that they should be enjoying. So in our view, we've always viewed home as an opportunity to allow people to, as we say, kind of dialyze to live instead of living to dialyze.
Could you briefly explain the cloud technology behind home dialysis machines and the kind of information that's being collected?
Data analytics and two-way wireless data transmission is something that we're particularly proud of about our system Tablo, and an area where I think we are really leading and delivering a lot of innovation. Prior to Tablo, there hasn't really been much invention, to be honest, around data streaming to the cloud. Hasn't really been a lot of opportunity to give providers or patients information about their treatment prior to Tablo. We've invested, millions of dollars in first securing two-way wireless data transmission from the FDA, so we can both push data through, let's say, over-the-air wireless software updates. We pull data. All of the treatment parameters and the treatment information goes directly to the provider. And over time, we'll be providing that information directly to the patient. And then we have a proprietary suite of machine learning and data analytics algorithms that also help move the service of the machines from today, kind of a react and repair. We want to move that to the model of predict and prevent so that we're really maximizing the patient experience on Tablo in the home.
How accessible are these machines for patients in terms of affordability?
The great news on home dialysis for patients is that there is no incremental patient financial burden. The systems, like let's say in our case, the Tablo system is something that the provider would purchase or lease on behalf of the patient. And that would go for either a health system that's a provider or a conventional dialysis clinic operator that's a provider. They actually incur the expense. The patient's copay, because there is a patient copay with dialysis, whether it's in-center or at home, doesn't change whatsoever. So there's no incremental financial burden on the patient.
Have there been any recent changes in reimbursement that make home-based dialysis more attractive?
It's interesting, having kind of studied this field now for the last, I've been involved for about 8 years, absolutely nothing had happened to incent home dialysis really over the last probably 15 years. It's been very stagnant, almost kind of frozen in time. And what's been fascinating to watch and really encouraging is just really within the last 18 months, we've seen this tremendous kind of convergence of all a bunch of different tailwinds, all of which we believe are enabling more patients to go home and be successful at home. And one of those is a reimbursement change. And so for the first time, CMS established a new set of financial incentives that pay the provider either more or less per treatment based on the percentage of patients that they have actually at home, dialyzing at home and or on the transplant wait list. So that financial incentive is a program called the ETC. That's very new and that became effective January 1st, 2021. So there's new financial opportunity for providers to send more patients home and be rewarded for that. I think the second tailwind probably has been COVID. And I know it's weird to call COVID a tailwind, but I think that it has, you know, understandably changed the patient mindset and the provider mindset, quite frankly, around the benefits of having kind of immunocompromised individuals dialyzing in close quarters, sitting very close to one another, probably is looking less like a great idea post-COVID than it did pre-COVID. And I think, you know, just in our talking to a lot of patients, dialysis patients, there is a tremendous uptick in interest in being able to dialyze in their own environment, not surrounded by other folks who are also immunocompromised. So I think COVID in a weird way probably is shifting patient mindset. I think we'll see a heavier patient embrace and desire to go home. And probably the third, actually COVID related also, is the rise of telehealth. Now dialysis patients prior to COVID had to come back into the clinic once a month, even though they were dialyzing at home, for an office visit. And now actually those can be done with a nephrologist and or a nurse via telehealth. And that also is paid for. So those are some of the tailwinds that we see as activating and enabling a larger percentage of the population to benefit from home dialysis.
Do patients receive training when choosing at-home dialysis treatment? Are they equipped on what to do if the machine malfunctions or experiences technological glitches?
When patients are learning home dialysis, understanding the technology behind it is a big part of it. Our mission as Outset from day one was to simplify the complex. Our vision was to try to make for the first time sort of the consumer product version of a dialysis machine that would feel and operate a lot more like a consumer product than a piece of medical equipment. And so the way that we approached that was actually through the use of very modern advanced sensors, really sophisticated software that, number one, dramatically reduced the number of steps involved for setup, and number two, automated most of the setup. So most of what patients have to learn when they're learning Tableau is really how to use a touchscreen. We have kind of custom 3D animations for each of the 10 steps. And again, the sensors and the software really do most of the work for them. But that being said, even with a simple device, we all have to learn new things. And so, yes, patients do go through a training program with Tableau. It's about 2 weeks on average, we're finding. Regardless of the patient's age, regardless of their educational level, we're able to train most patients in just about kind of 10 sessions. And then ongoing, once they're at home, if there's an issue or a question, it's going to happen. And we have a team, a 24/7 available team of customer experience specialists that will work with them remotely. And they have the ability, like your computer with the IT guy, you know, they can kind of remote into our laptop. We can do the same thing now for the first time with this technology. Our support technicians can remote into that Tableau and see exactly what's going on and be able to advise that patient from a distance.
What do these training programs entail? Is there more instructor-based education, or can it be completed online?
Yeah, a little bit of both. And I think that's been another thing I think we've all learned through COVID is actually how smart we can become through virtual tools. And so we're moving to a hybrid approach where a lot of the education can be done independently and virtually through kind of simulation mechanisms that can be accomplished online. There's an amazing amount of innovation going on just in instructional design today across the board with technology. And then there's also an in-person component where they're hands-on with the system and practicing the setup, practicing taking the disposables off, and just practicing kind of running through the screens during treatment.
What can you say to healthcare professionals who are wary about allowing patients to receive such a vital treatment at home without the supervision of a nurse or technician?
So home dialysis has now been done for over 16, 17 years. The first patients went home on a different technology in the early 2000s. So we have the benefit today of being able to just look at data. And when you look at the data on the adverse event rate at home versus in center, it's actually lower. And so you might wonder, that's curious why. And you know, there, if you think about it and put yourself in someone's shoes, when we are caring for ourselves, we tend to be very meticulous. And not that our healthcare professionals do anything less than a stellar job in an in-center environment. But when you're, you know, when you're going to hook yourself up to a machine and dialyze yourself, what we've seen and experienced is a very, very high level of patient attention to detail. I had a patient once tell me, you know, nobody cares more about me than me. And it makes sense. I was talking to another patient today on Tableau, and he said, you know, what I love most about it is that I actually can modify aspects of the treatment based on how I'm feeling. You know, nobody really knows how I'm feeling except for me. And to be able to put that kind of control and empowerment in somebody's hands to make a minor adjustment that makes them feel better instantly is really pretty cool. It's pretty powerful. So, so far the safety in the home, has really been quite impressive. And it has been, again, as I said, over the last 16 to 20 years.
You touched a bit on how the pandemic has influenced the need for this technology, but what lessons can be taken from the pandemic to inform home-based dialysis going forward?
I think the pandemic has had taught us a couple of lessons. The first is that we can be, as a healthcare community, we can be very effective in supporting patients at home virtually. We can provide a lot more care virtually than I think any of us probably thought possible 18 months ago. So that's lesson one. And I think that's been that will continue to be quite enabling, as I mentioned, in maybe allowing more patients to dialyze at home with virtual support. I think the second lesson learned is that many, many more patients than perhaps we thought 2 years ago really are capable and competent of caring for themselves at home. We've seen, you know, at the health system level, we're seeing a much faster migration in this hospital to home movement, right? All sorts of care, urgent care, more acute care that maybe 2 years ago we would have assumed had to be delivered in an acute setting is now being delivered at home. So I think we're generally seeing kind of a macro migration of care to the home, and home dialysis is really just an extension of that.
What does the future of home dialysis healthcare look like as more home dialysis machines gain traction with patients?
Well, we think the future of home dialysis, actually, I'll say, is a bit of a back to the future. Back in the 70s and the early 80s, 30%+ of the dialysis population was dialyzing at home. Today, that figure is 11 or 12%. Okay, so what happened? I won't drag you through the whole history of how did we regress, but we regressed. But what's interesting to me historically is we know that 30% or more, and that was with the machines that were available like in the 70s or 80s, that were like way more complicated than they are today. So if 30% are capable, you know, with technology from 30 or 40 years ago, you know, my personal view is 50%+ or more could be very capably and happily dialyzing at home, aided by technology, aided by virtual support, and aided by a community of caregivers that I think now are really good at supporting the patients in a virtual environment. So that's our vision for the future, half or more.
Do you think that tools used for at-home dialysis will completely replace the need for dialysis centers, and why?
I don't think that home dialysis will ever totally replace the need for other settings of care, I'll say. I think that we'll have settings of care that are still very traditional in center. We see settings of care, of course, in a hospital environment, in the ICU, bedside, at the floor, that will not change. But we also see perhaps new settings of care that might be in a retail environment, that might be in an urgent care environment, that might be, you know, in a primary care environment. A big part of our vision is, you know, how do we give patients more choices? That's what it's all about, is patients should not, and not any of us don't, none of us want to be constrained to you have to go here or there and you have two choices. So we envision a future where the provider universe is much bigger than it is today, and that there are a variety of settings of care that then provide patients with a lot more flexibility about where, when, how they can dialyze.
And lastly, do you have any concluding thoughts?
Concluding thoughts. It's hard to summarize, a 40-year history of dialysis, but rather than looking backward, I think what I'm the most excited about is how much kind of national attention there is now on moving forward. We're seeing a very big trend toward hospitals and health systems managing the patient all the way to the home. You know, most dialysis patients start their journey actually in the acute setting. About 60 to 70% of patients crash into dialysis. They don't know they have chronic kidney failure. And unfortunately for many, it's a symptomless disease. So they will start the journey of dialysis in an acute episode through an ER and in an inpatient visit. And typically what's happened in the past is once the patient stabilized in the hospital, the hospital then would send them to a chronic facility. And that's been somewhat limiting. We're seeing a lot more hospitals and health systems decide, hey, we actually know how to do this, because in the 70s and the 80s, the majority of the dialysis patients were managed by hospitals and health systems, and they did a great job. Again, we had 30%+ at home. So we're seeing a bit of a back to the future where hospitals and health systems are taking advantage of the resources and the competency that they already have managing patients in the home, and taking advantage also of the opportunity to lower cost. So an opportunity to reduce hospitalization, reduce ER visits, reduce med use for chronic dialysis patients managed in the home, sticking with the ecosystem of the hospital, the health system. So we see that as a very interesting and compelling opportunity for health systems and ultimately for managed care providers to lower the cost of care and improve the quality of the experience for the patients that they serve.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias.